Two things that do not seem to go together at all, but actually do, turns out. Like Sonny and Cher. Like Kentucky and football, apparently. Like breakfast for dinner. No, I thought I would get an amen for that. Surely somebody thinks that really goes together. Like Oreos and orange juice, apparently. I think that's a thing, actually. I read it on the internet, so it must be true, and I thought maybe somebody would go and try that out and report back. Can you imagine? Two things that do not seem to go together at all. There are two biblical scenes that don't seem to go together at all. The manger of Bethlehem and the throne of heaven. And yet, somehow, they're the same thing. They're the same story. One scene is the throne room of God. And it is the a picture of what heaven is like and what is going on now in eternity, revealed to John in the book of Revelation, this strange and wonderful description that's meant to be encouragement for the early church to hang in there, a little sneak peek into the reality of heaven. And a voice that says, come and see, an invitation, an open door. And as John steps through the door, the thing that he sees first is this throne, this vision of God on his throne. And then just sort of this mysterious and almost overwhelming experience around it. It's a throne surrounded by 24 other thrones, with a voice sounding like a trumpet and rumblings and thunder and lightning and flashes, brilliance like a diamond, shining like a ruby, and all around it a rainbow of emerald. All these heavenly creatures that are weird and mysterious, worshiping God in every moment. It's a spectacle of beauty. Think Las Vegas show and Sistine Chapel all at the same time. New Year's celebration in Times Square, and the Hallelujah Chorus in St. Paul's Cathedral. In the midst of it all, there in the middle, a throne, and on that throne, a king who is pure and holy, 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 and in charge. The other scene we know well. Most of us have this somewhere in our home right now. It's the scene of a baby, farm animals, straw, shepherds, a poor couple, and a feed trough. The scene has no obvious splendor, none of the pyrotechnics, none of that same pizzazz. Just a repeat of what has happened literally billions and billions and billions of times. A new human entering the planet, making his debut. The throne and a manger, two scenes that seem to have absolutely nothing to do with each other but are actually the same story, the same thing going on at the same time. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. It's the same thing. This is a very different kind of king indeed. With this king, God's glory is going to show up in some surprising places, not the least of which is your life and mine. It's going to show up in the cries of babies and in the eyes of children. It's going to show up in humble places and dirty places and messy places in the midst of the mess with ordinary people, people that we'll meet on the street, people that we'll be related to, people that we might otherwise not have a lot of time for, and those we might be tempted to consider insignificant. Glory. With this king, we will see God's glory in a manger and a throne, in Walmart and Washington, D.C. God's glory does not look like Hollywood will tell us, not with red carpet and well-placed lighting, not with flashing cameras. With this king, God's glorious presence shows up in the least likely of places. With this king, God gives us a picture of what true power looks like in helplessness. God gives us not an escape from this world, but an entrance to it. With this king, we discover that there is great power and authority in things like forgiveness and compassion and serving and generosity, not in force and violence, but in the critique of those powers. and the revelation of a greater power than any of our force and power could produce. Again, who saw this coming? It doesn't seem to go together. The most powerful force in the world enacted by one who dies, who comes to die, to give his life away, and then invite people to do the same. The might of the universe wrapped up, packaged, and helpless baby. All skin and coos. But maybe most of all, with this king, we discover something about God's presence. That scene in heaven and the scene around the manger are not just about what God was doing at some point in the past, not just about what God is doing some point in the future, but what is going on now. Think about it. That throne isn't just a scene in the future. It's a picture of what is an eternal reality going on now. As it's been said, eternity is already in session. I don't know if you think of it that way. Heaven's going on before you get there. They don't wait for you to arrive for the party to start. God is on the throne now. That's the point. And all that splendor and all that worship and all that awe-inspiring mystery going on right now. Already operative in the universe. And the manger isn't just about some point in the past, is it? Not just this moment that happened, but it's a sign of who God is and what God is doing. That God is present now. Both the manger and the throne tell us something about this very moment. Now, we might be deceived, we might be distracted, but the truths of the manger and the throne are there if we'll have eyes to see. We can be deceived, we can be distracted, and I think that is the danger, by the way. I think that's actually the danger in this whole mix, that we'll fail to see the glory because of all the ordinary in our own lives, in what we see around us, in ourselves and in each other and in our moments, that we'll only see the ordinary and miss the glory. That was probably the danger of the early church, I think. The whole point of receiving the book of Revelation is so that they could see that something would be revealed to them that they might otherwise miss. And so we kind of listen into that. I think in the press of the Roman Empire and the dangers that were facing the early church, there were two major dangers that we could learn from. And they were in danger of giving in to the empire, of being assimilated and losing their distinctiveness. Giving in and resistance is futile, as we learn from Star Trek. Giving in, not pressing on, or giving up in the face of persecution, in the face of real possibility of death. Giving in or giving up, but not if this is really the king, not if there's really a king on the throne. Not if the king of the universe was the one lying in the manger. I think the same dangers were behind the scene at the manger. And that the baby looked pretty ordinary, pretty normal. Mary and Joseph were nothing special to write home about. Bethlehem, though we sing songs about it now, was not any place anybody was looking for anything special. God's people were going to be the ones most likely to miss what God was doing. Irony of ironies. But the shepherds saw it, didn't they? There were a few who recognized what was going on. For with this king, and as a sign of how God works, God shows up in the most ordinary encounters, in normal conversations, in routine moments, and among ordinary people. With this king, the people who are proud and angry and powerful might just miss out. And with this king, those who are poor and humble and overlooked might just luck out. And so there is something special in bringing these two scenes together, which we do pretty much every Christmas, but it's kind of hidden, maybe obscured. But we keep singing about this baby as our king, as if we know what that means. The throne and the manger tell us the same story. And there is actually a very obvious link between those two scenes that helps us know how to respond to this whole story. What do you do in response to the king in the manger? And the same response is there, actually, from the shepherd and the shepherds and the wise men, but also the creatures at the throne and the saints of heaven, who, when they hear that God is holy, when they see the baby in the manger, what do? They fall down. They bow down. And they worship. It's kind of like the only appropriate response when you know what's really going on. When all these weird, mysterious creatures sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." When they say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive honor." And when everybody hops off their throne and takes off their crown and throws it at the feet of Jesus, you might want to do the same. Seems like, well, you just kind of hang in there and do what they're doing. And when shepherds who have heard angels sing of the glory of a helpless baby go and find him just as he has been told them about, they bow down in awe, in surprise, in hope, in wonder, and in worship. The vision of heaven, the scene at the manger, kind of speak to the same realities. The vision of heaven is pretty overwhelming, almost chaotic, but in the middle is a throne. The picture of stability, of constancy and certainty. And day and night, these creatures never stop affirming the holiness of God, who was and is to come forever. He is God. In the chaotic moments of our lives and all the stuff that we don't understand, God is and was and is to come. And at the manger, in the middle of the chaos and the mystery, people worshiping in the trust that God was going to do something, though not much had played out so far. In Bethlehem, in the middle of the Roman Empire, a baby born right smack in the middle of a great big mess. Jesus is king, but a very different kind of king. The dichotomy is that the one who sits on the throne also lies in the manger, and that says something about our lives. Says something about our mess. Says something about our chaotic world, that the kingdom of God is coming in the middle of ordinary lives. The king of the universe is setting up residence in our very human hearts. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. And so what do? We haste to bring him worship, this babe, the son of Mary, who just so happens to be our king, the king of the manger and the king of the throne. Let's pray together. Jesus, help us to see you as you really are. Through these two pictures of what you came to do, both a silent night and a not so silent eternity wrapped up in one. How could it be that you've come for us? How could it be that in your splendor you came down into a manger? How could it be that the God of the universe knows each of us by name? This is a very different kind of king. This is a very different kind of kingdom. And so our God, our response today is worship. A little bit of the awe that we might have missed otherwise. A little bit of the surprise that we, if we're not careful, will rush past. Our response is to imagine ourselves in both places, standing at the manger to see with our own eyes this very strange and wonderful thing that you've done. and also to stand at that throne. To hear the cacophony of heaven bringing you praise. May we be caught up in these same scenes as we get caught up in the same story. And may we find that Jesus is in fact our King. For we pray and worship in his name. Amen.